It is that time of the morning for Changing Australia. And how often have you caught yourself ignoring some troubling symptoms, putting off a self-check or a trip to the doctor? Well, it can be a common trap for younger Australians who may think that youth is on their side when it comes to health. But Hugo Tuvey was diagnosed with cancer for the first time at the age of just 21. He's now a survivor of cancer twice, and while he's still facing his own health struggles, he's using his own experience to normalise some of those really tough conversations for young people and to save lives. Hugo is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Hugo Tuvey, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sally. Yeah, it's good to be here.
At the age of 21, before you got a diagnosis, when did you feel first realise that something might not be quite right for you?
Yeah, so look, this first started back in when I was just 21, as you mentioned, and I was a very ignorant young bloke, thought I was bulletproof like a lot of us do. And for me, I was in the final 6 months of army training at the Royal Military College, Duntroon. So you got a picture, and for those listening, cast your minds back to when you're early 20s. For me, I was super fit, supposedly healthy, had youth on my side, no family history of cancer. But what I did have was a lump on my right testicle, and I knew it was there. I otherwise felt pretty good, but I put off that, picture of the little frozen pea-sized lump. I put that lump off for probably over 6 months. And unfortunately, it didn't just go away on its own. And it was eventually testicular cancer. And me being that young, ignorant 21-year-old bloke meant that cancer had spread through my body.
Do you remember the words when you were told?
Yeah, look, I do. It's, unfortunately, I've had that same feeling at two very separate stages in my life, and both quite different emotions. But, that first time, it was a lot to take in because I didn't know anything about cancer. It was only from what I saw on the Hollywood movies or, what you read about on the news. But for me, I knew nothing about it. And hearing that, mate, you've got testicular cancer, but it's also spread, I thought, that's not a good thing. And but even then, I still felt like, I'm young, I'll get through this. And I did, albeit over a number of years. And it was a very different feeling when I was diagnosed that second time.
Hugo, where did the cancer go?
So typically testicular cancer, and it is a young man's cancer. It does impact young men, but often we don't really hear about these men or these young adult cancers, and this one spread upwards. It goes, starts at your testicle and it literally spreads upwards to your abdominal lymph nodes. It starts to spread to your other organs, and if you leave it long enough, it can spread to your brain, which is what happened to Lance Armstrong. And if you keep ignoring those symptoms, for me, it spread all through the abdominal lymph nodes, and it meant I had to have some pretty arduous, months of chemotherapy and a pretty major abdominal surgery to remove all those lymph nodes.
Was there, it's a very young age, was there almost a sense of grief for you in this process, Hugo? You're not this bulletproof bloke that you thought that you were. What was that like getting your head around?
Absolutely. And noting that I only had a few months before I graduated as a young lieutenant, my whole career and life ahead of me. The chemo days in particular, when you're in your early 20s and you click pause on your life, click pause on your career, and I just remember looking at myself in the mirror and I've lost all my hair, all the hair on my body, my face is puffed out on steroids, and I just looked like a sick cancer patient. And, navigating life in your 20s is hard enough, but when you're having to go in and out of hospitals, not really visit, or not really so have friends visit you, and that was by choice because I just kind of felt embarrassed in how I looked, and your whole life is just put on pause while you undergo this pretty significant part of your life, and everyone else around you is travelling, continuing their careers. For my army mates, they're getting posted overseas or all around Australia, and I'm kind of just sitting here in a hospital room, and it's a pretty isolating place to be.
You've now set up an organisation that's called 25 Stay Alive after your experiences. What does this group do, Hugo?
So, yeah, thanks, Sally. And look, 25 Stay Alive is something I'm very proud of, and it stemmed from my own lived experience, after that testicular cancer experience and then 5 years later going through bowel cancer, which was completely unrelated, nothing to do with testicular cancer, family history. I've got no mutated genes or nothing wrong with my genetics. It's been put down to a bit of bad luck. But what I did learn the hard way was the importance of early detection. And that story about my testicular cancer was vastly different to my bowel cancer. As soon as my bowels started playing up, you know, increased bowel movements, urgency to the bathroom, loose stools, I basically, you know, rushed off to the doctor and ended up having a colonoscopy and was diagnosed with bowel cancer. And it was, you know, a great sort of spotlight to show the importance of when you get these things early, you give yourself the best possible chance. And I guess 25 Stay Alive was stemmed from that, because I was constantly told, and to be honest, I'm still told, you know, geez, Hugo, you're so young to go through all this. Geez, mate, you're so young. But the truth is, I'm not young. You know, I might be unlucky, but I'm not young. You know, bowel cancer is now the biggest cancer killer for those aged 25 to 44. You know, it's a younger person's cancer now. It's impacting young people, but too often young people are being dismissed, or too often young adults aren't being proactive enough to go, you know what, something's not quite right here, I'm going off to a doctor. So 25 Stay Alive was born from that, and it's really to encourage young adults in their sort of their 20s and 30s navigating life, to encourage them to not only go off to a doctor and take charge of their health when something's not quite right, but also what to look out for, self-exams for blokes, you know, what it looks like to do a testicular exam for women, what it looks like to do a breast exam, to look out for any moles, bumps, lumps, anything in your body that's unusual, to go, you know what, I'm going to find a GP, book in for that appointment. And once you've got that appointment, the key is that you'll then have annual checkup for the rest of your life. And we really want to sort of start that at 25, because, you know, as you know, Sally, and the people listening, when you turn 50, or now it's 45, people often know that that's the age where you take your health seriously. You might get your bowel screening kit, your mammogram test for women. And it's kind of like that shifted the mindset of when people go, shit, I'm 50 now, but I might take my health seriously. But it's to really bring that back, to say, hang on, these conversations need to start at 25 and continue every year, like you service your car for the rest of your life. And our little motto is 25 is the new 50, and that's sort of in a medical health lens.
I say it the other way around. Yeah. Someone is the other side of 50.
And that's it. We want to shift that to say, health look-wise, absolutely. You know, we're all wanting to look youthful, but for our internal medical side and our health, we need to flip that narrative to say, hang on, we can't be waiting till we're 50 to start to do these things, to go off to a doctor, to have annual checkups, to know what to look out for. These conversations need to happen much earlier. And we know there's this, you know, the government just spent $1.3 billion in prevention, but it really misses the adults in their 20s and 30s. There's this kind of this complete missed demographic of these young adults who are just being missed in the federal budget, conversations, workshops around Australia, and we're really trying to change that.
You're listening to Changing Australia, and my guest today is Hugo Tuvey. He set up an organisation which is called 25 Stay Alive. How are you travelling now, Hugo? What's happening for you?
Yeah, look, I'm in a pretty okay place. And in fact, I'm only 5-6 weeks from a pretty major surgery, and I've been going through these health challenges for over 12, 13 years now. And unfortunately, through all the major abdominal surgeries, I'm missing so much bowel now. I've only got about 2 metres of bowel total, so I don't have any large bowel, colon, rectum, and I'm missing about 6 metres of my small bowel. And this recent surgery, they literally stitched up downstairs. They call it the Barbie butt, which is quite a glamorous term, but you know, I'll take it, anything to make it sound a bit more glamorous than it is. But the reality is I've now got a permanent ileostomy. You know, it's meant to improve my quality of life, because I was in, you know, quite excruciating pain for a number of years due to complex health challenges from the treatment of bowel cancer. And as I stand here, I'm cancer-free, and that's a great thing. But, you know, to get to that stage, it's been a pretty drastic measure to make sure I'm still here. And I guess, you know, as long as I can share my story and be a voice for those young adults, and I'm in a position where I can still do that, I'll continue to advocate for young people, health checks, and the importance of seeing your doctor, because, yeah, I have really learnt that the hard way.
You're still in the army, Hugo?
Look, I am, Sally, and it's I'm on extended medical leave at the moment post this recent major surgery, but I'm still serving. I'm currently a major in the army, and the Army supported me so much over the years. They continue to support me, and hopefully I can click resume early next year on not only my Army career, but continuing to grow this charity as well.
You're talking about some of these, having these conversations with young people about getting checks and also the difficult conversations if something has gone wrong. The one conversation we haven't sort of talked about, Hugo, is the one with yourself. How have you kind of reconciled things for yourself, having had something initially as a really young bloke, you didn't get it checked initially and it got away, later on you were on it. How do you sort of have some peace with yourself, because everyone's just trying to do their best to get through? How's that been for you?
Yeah, it's been one of those things over the years, Sally, where I have had a lot of the what ifs and how my life would be different. You know, if only I went to the doctor earlier, or, you know, all these drastic measures I've had with these bowel cancer related surgeries, you know, how my life would be different if things had changed. But ultimately, I've had to remind myself I can't go back in time. I can't change my narrative. But if I just remind myself, and I have to do this regularly, whether it's with my psychologist or really working on my mental health or mental fitness, is the fact that I've now got this opportunity where not only am I still here, but I can make some good of these pretty bad situations. And you never set out to do that. And initially, when I was a young bloke, I didn't really share my story. I was pretty embarrassed in what I was going through and how I looked. But, you know, now as a bloke in his early 30s, I see the power of sharing your story of lived experience and, you know, even the complete far right end of saving lives. And, you know, when I first got those first messages or people reaching out saying, hey, I've heard your story and just want to let you know that, it prompted me to go to a doctor and I was diagnosed with early stage bowel cancer, and, you know, you've saved my life. When you hear those stories, it's pretty powerful, and it kind of makes what I've gone through and even makes what I'm going through with challenges for the rest of my life, it makes it worthwhile, because it's kind of almost that daily reminder to say, hey, I'm going through this, but this is also an opportunity to help one person, to help five people, to help 100 people and even save lives. And I go into every single workshop presentation, even the interview I've got this morning, Sally, with that same mindset to think there could be one person driving along, listening to this, listening to my story, that might just have that motivation to go, you know what, I've been putting it off too long. I'm going to go see my doctor, or this weird lump down there, I've just been brushing it to the side. I'm going to do something about this. And if we can encourage more people to do that, more people to check in on their loved ones, their friends, their mates, have these open, honest and vulnerable conversations, then we're going to go a long way in prevention, but ultimately saving lives.
Hugo, it's quite disarming talking to someone with so much maturity and insight, even at your age, as an old bloke in your early 30s now. Yeah. Thank you so much, and good luck with your recovery ahead after this surgery. And, you know, your family, your friends, the community and the army, they're so privileged to have you. You're really making a contribution. Thank you.
No, thanks, Sally. And look, I'll also say on that, you know, I've fortunately now got a 20-month-old son, and I don't know if he'll be listening along at home. He probably doesn't have the attention span for that just yet. But I always say that if nothing else, I'd love to do it for his future generations. And so when Teddy, my son, grows up, not only is he proud of his dad, but these conversations are so normal, and these young adults navigating the complexities of life, it's just second nature to go off, see their GP, get checked, give their mates a hug, tell their old man they love them. That's just part of everyday life.
You just about wrecked me there, Hugo. thank you so much for talking to me this morning, and good luck with everyone. And a reminder again, this organisation's called 25 Stay Alive, and any young ones listening and or partners of parents, aunties, uncles, have those discussions. Tell people to go and get checked if worried. Hugo, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. And yeah, everyone can jump on the website if they want to find out more. And we love getting out into community, sporting clubs, wherever, you know, 25 Stay Alive can take us. So please reach out. I'd love to hear from you. But thanks again, Sally.
Good on you. That's Hugo Tuvi there, the founder of 25 Stay Alive, and a major in the Australian Army.